Hi family, I want to welcome you guys back to the How to Return to Greatness podcast. And on this podcast, we discuss the issues that are plaguing the African American communities, as well as discuss solutions that could bring about change. And on today's episode, we're just going to discuss the black on black crime and why Black Lives Matter isn't actually speaking on this, as well as the injustices that are happening in the black community by the hands of law enforcement. Now, first thing I want to say is there's no such thing as black on black crime. That is an ideology that Europeans came up with when they want to deflect the reasoning behind people of color are being murdered by law enforcement. Because let's just be clear about it, 84% of white people die at the hands of other white people. 93% of people of color die at the hands of other people of color. It's a well-known fact that people who you hang around are more than likely the people who you're going to be murdered by. And I don't mean like your friends and your family are going to murder you. I mean that if you're in a black community, more than likely your chances of being murdered is going to be by somebody who is a person of color. If you live in a white neighborhood, more than likely your chances of being murdered by somebody white, it's more likely. And so on. That goes for any community, whether you're Indian, whether you're Asian, whether you're Hispanic, whatever community that you live in, as a person of that community, you are more likely to be murdered by someone who looks like you. So we have to stop allowing people to use that reference of black on black crime as an excuse and alluding to the fact that that is the reasoning behind people of color being murdered by cops and it being excusable. Now, do I agree with the fact that people of color are murdering each other? Heck no. I would never agree with that. I would never insinuate that that type of behavior is okay. In fact, I feel like that's something that's abhorrent. And I personally feel that we should be held responsible for every black life that we take off this planet. And it's not okay for us to excuse our behavior as people of color who are murdering each other while in the same breath promoting Black Lives Matter. Because if we really did feel that Black Lives Matter, then we would have more of a coalition, more of a alliance between each other. But unfortunately, that's something that we've never had. We've never had a connection with each other. We've always been more so crabs in a bucket. You know, let me pull you down before you get up. I see you almost out of here on your way to some type of success. Let me stunt your growth right this instant. And I personally think that is something we have to hold ourselves accountable for. I mean, just over 4th of July weekend, 4 black kids were murdered. And for what? Not because they did anything wrong or they harmed anyone, but simply because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time and was simply caught in a crossfire. That's unfortunate and that's unfair that little kids cannot go outside and play, can't sit in a car idly without their lives being taken for no reason, for something that they did not have anything to do with, something that they were not even a part of. This is ridiculous. And if we don't hold ourselves accountable for these type of behaviors, then it alludes to the fact that this is okay and that this kind of actions are okay to continue, when we obviously know that it's not. Because when unarmed black men and black women and black children are shot down, we protest, we make sure that we have these police officers held accountable, which means that we know that murdering unarmed people and people who have not caused any harm to anyone else is just flat out wrong. And there's no excuse for it at all. And yes, you may say, oh, you just said that in white neighborhoods, white people kill each other more often than anyone else. And in Mexican neighborhoods, Mexican people kill each other more often than anyone else. And in any neighborhood, that's how it goes. But that does not excuse the behavior. And I'm going to hold us to a higher regard. I'm going to hold us higher when it comes to accountability, because we're responsible for our own lives, our own well-being, as well as our children's well-being. What other people do in their backyard has nothing to do with us. You ever heard the saying, what somebody else eat doesn't make you shit? Yeah, excuse my language, but I just wanted to put a little pizzazz on that so you get exactly what I'm saying. What everybody else does in their backyard has nothing to do with people of color. We have to focus on ourselves. And you ever heard your mom say, I don't know what you do, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I just want to put that out there, because I'm saying, I don't care what anybody else does. I don't care the crime rate in anybody else's community. I care about the crime rate in my community and my people being murdered, my people being brutalized, my people being overly incarcerated. That is what I care about. And if it has nothing to do with us, then I'm not really concerned about it, because everybody else take care of their own. The Asians don't need any help. White people don't need any help. Indians don't need any help. You know, everybody else takes care of their own people. And we have to start doing that when it comes to our communities. We have to start checking each other and letting each other know the type of behavior that is acceptable and the type of behavior that is unacceptable, because this is getting quite ridiculous. Now, I just want to mention these four kids' names because I want to kind of like immortalize them, because this is ridiculous what happened to them. It's very disheartening. And just looking at their pictures and looking at their little faces, it literally brought me to tears. You know, one of the young ladies, well, I don't even want to say young lady because she's a baby, but one of the little girls, her name was Sequoia Turner. And, you know, she was sitting in the car when she was fatally shot in Atlanta. The other young man, well, little boy, his name was Royata DeMarco, and he was shot and killed while he was caught in a crossfire at a mall in Hoover, Alabama. And then you have another little boy, his name is Davon McNeil, and he was visiting his family in Washington, D.C. when he was shot. And then you have Natalia Wallace, who was shot while playing with her cousins in a yard in Austin, in an Austin neighborhood of Chicago. Now, what is it coming to when your babies can't go outside and play? Like, are you really thinking about what is happening? Are you really paying attention? Because if you're paying attention, this has got to be some of the most scariest crap that could ever happen to any mother, any child, any person on this planet. And I don't care what color you are, for that matter. Could you imagine being in your house, cooking dinner or cleaning up or washing clothes or doing whatever you do, getting yourself ready for the day or tomorrow, and your baby is outside playing and you hear shots and go outside and your child is laying on the ground lifeless? I couldn't imagine that as a mother. Every morning I get up, the first little face I see is my daughter, Issa. And the first thing she does is she gives me a kiss, she gives me a high five, and she asks me, how did I sleep? And I ask her the same thing. And, you know, I give her love. I give her unlimited amounts of hugs and kisses, which she kind of hates, but I still do it anyway. But just looking at my daughter, sometimes I get overcome with an emotion of love and an emotion of, I would do anything to keep this human here alive, safe, happy, and loved. So I couldn't imagine or even fathom a child of mine or anybody else's child that I know being murdered or taken away from them. And I mean, it's bad when any mother loses a child or any father loses a child. You know, it's horrible for anyone to have to deal with that. But when you see your 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old, 11-year-old stretched out in the middle of the street or on your backyard or in a car with a bullet wound to their head or their torso, I don't know how you can recover from that. I don't know how anyone could recover from that, because I would literally be heartbroken. So my heart, thoughts, and feelings and love go out to the family members who are the mothers and fathers and aunties and uncles and cousins and of those four kids who were murdered over the 4th of July weekend for absolutely nothing other than some cornball adults who don't know how to act and behave in public. And the even saddening thing was, there was no news coverage about this. Like, it was barely any news coverage about this. When someone is murdered by the police officers who was unarmed or not causing any trouble or not resisting arrest, we cut a fool in the public. We literally have so much news coverage of that. It's like that's all you see for almost like a week or two before we forget about what happened and move on to the next TikTok dance. But we have mounds of media coverage about that. It's posting all over Facebook. It's postings all over Instagram. I mean, you're literally putting videos up of men and women who are murdered, immortalizing their murder and their death for their children or their grandparents or their mom and dads or their sisters and brothers or cousins to see. And we don't even think about the impact that that has on those families, but we bring a great amount of attention to their deaths. We march, we protest, we go down to the courthouses, we hold the judicial system accountable, we hold the elites accountable, we're expecting for everyone to talk about it. But when someone is murdered by other people of color, you can pretty much hear a pin drop when it comes to news coverage or media coverage when it comes to those deaths of people of color by the hands of other people of color. Holding ourselves accountable for what we do in our community does not diminish diminished who we are as a people when it comes to our great contributions to this society. We don't have to govern ourselves by the same rules that our parents had, which was what happens in this house stays in this house. Because if what's happening in this house is causing great harm and detriment to us, we have the right and the responsibility to talk about it, bring awareness about it, and try to create some kind of change within this situation. And we have to stop glorifying the deaths of each other. And what I mean by glorifying, I mean stop setting the trend, stop setting the tone that it is okay to murder each other. When you look at music videos, who and what do you see? You see mounds of black men holding up guns, ARs, and pistols, assault rifles, and all other types of heavy artillery. Who do you think those guns are intended for? They're definitely not intended for your oppressor. They're intended for other black men and other black women, black children, black kids, you know? And that's very disheartening. All of the music glorifies murdering other black men, glorifies committing brutality against other black men, other black women, glorifies going to prison and behind shooting and murdering other black men and black women. It's like, what are we saying? We continue to push this narrative and this rhetoric that it's okay for black people to shoot each other just as long as the police don't. And I'm here to tell you, from my mouth to your ears, it's not okay for no one to kill us. It's not okay for police officers to kill us. It's not okay for each other to kill us. The problems that we have in the black community, they are an in-house job, meaning they have to be fixed from the inside out. No one else can fix our issues for us. And the first thing we have to do is take the chains off our mind and switch our mindsets. Because once you take the chains off a person's mind, oh, you're dealing with a whole new person this time. Because right now, we are clearly on a self-destruction spree without any signs of slowing down anytime soon. And to be honest, it's very heartbreaking because I know the strength that people of color possess. I mean, think about it. We came to United States 1619 in Jamestown, Virginia, and we have endured so many hardships that we have withstood. You know, everything that has been thrown at us as far as like redlining, over-incarceration, brutality when it comes to police and Europeans in general, you know, Jim Crow, black codes, you know, reconstruction. Construction, you know, all of the things that we have overcame and endured, you would think that this would make us and our connection more strong because at the end of the day, we know that we can't depend on nobody in America but us. You know, you can't depend on nobody in America or in this world but ourselves. And that goes for people of color everywhere. And until we come to the understanding that we are our only saviors, this behavior will continue to go on. And I think it's important that we pay attention to how we are projecting ourselves, how we are portraying ourselves, and how we are interacting with each other. Because at the end of the day, we set the tone for the behaviors that are going to be exhibited when it comes to us. People deal with us according to how they see us deal with each other, you know? So if they see other people of color fighting each other, beating each other up, disrespecting each other, being negative towards each other, what do you think they are going to believe is okay? Do you think for a second they're going to say, hey, let's treat them better than they treat themselves? Heck no. Who would? You get what you give out. And until we pay attention to that, this type of behavior is going to continue to go on and on. So guys, I hope you enjoy tonight's podcast. I really thank you guys for joining me and listening. I hope you guys comment, leave some rhetoric. What do you guys think about what I spoke about tonight? What are you guys' feelings when it comes to the so-called black-on-black crime and children being caught in the crossfire? I also want to just remind you guys that my book is available right now on Amazon.com. And it's entitled How to Return to Greatness. And you can also go to my website, www.sherryshurison.com. That is cherryshurison.com. You can go on there and you can check out my website, see any of the upcoming events I might have coming up. You could check out the new books that I have coming out. And just to give you a heads up, I do have a new book that's going to be coming out within the next, I'd say, like month, and the book is entitled Why the the Sun Loves Me So Much, and it's pretty much like a self-love book for people of color, little kids, you know. So make sure you guys check that out. Make sure you guys go follow me on Instagram at Cherry Charisse, as well as Twitter, and also follow my author page. Make sure you guys, you know, just keep connected with me. I enjoy, you know, talking to people. I enjoy going back and forth as far as thoughts and discussing things that people may have on their brains and in their hearts. So if you have some topics that you like for me to discuss or you like for me to chime in on, make sure you guys go to my Instagram page, leave the comments under my post, or you can also leave the comments under this podcast post as well. So once again, guys, I really want to thank you guys for joining me. I look forward to hearing and seeing from you guys again on the next episode. Again, my name is Cherry, and I want to thank you guys for attending the podcast, How to Return to Greatness, and make sure you guys go to my website. Oh, and I almost forgot. Guys, make sure you look forward to my new book tour that's going to be coming out. I'm actually going to be going on tour starting August the 22nd. I will be uploading the dates of where I'm going to be attending. I'm going to be doing an 8-week tour, and on those tours, I'm actually going to be stopping at the homeless shelter and places that the homeless are at, and I'm going to be giving out like socks and t-shirts and panties and things like that. So if you guys want to give some donations, make sure you send me an email. Go to my website, you can send me an email from there, and I do not take money, so keep that in mind. So if you guys want to donate like panties, socks, and things like that, and hygiene packets, make sure you guys send me an email, and I'll send you guys my P.O. box, and we can go from there. But again, guys, have a great night.